And this week, we've been looking at the idea of memory in the age of digital photography. When we're always documenting, are we remembering more or less? Today, we're tackling memory, photography, and childhood. With parents flooding their camera phones with hundreds of photos, from every angle of baby's head, to loose teeth, to hissy fits, to each step in the process of potty training, how will the ubiquity of photos change childhood memories?
I mean, when my twins were born, I was taking so many photos. I think because I was like, I needed proof that it was happening almost.
Rebecca Wolf, she writes and shares photos at her site, Girls Gone Child. Pull it up and you'll see oodles of photos. Candid everyday life with her family of six. Ask her how many she's taken since her oldest child was born.
Gosh, I mean, tens of thousands, probably. I don't even know.
For years, Wolf was devoted to film. Forget digital.
I love the mystery of getting that film back. It was magical to open up that proof sheet. The instant gratification of a digital camera is amazing, but it also, you lose all of that. You feel less involved.
And yet, once Wolf started taking digital photographs, she never went back. She admits she went a little shutter crazy. And she remembers the moment when it suddenly clicked, if you will, that she was too absorbed in digital documentation.
So I remember going to the park at one point and seeing that everyone was on their phones. And I was like, oh, God, wait, is this how people see me? Is like the person snapping photos. And not even that, but like my kids. Like, are they going to think of me as somebody who was behind a camera? And I didn't want that to be the case at all.
Wolf cuts herself some slack, reminds herself this isn't something that we grew up with.
And I don't think any of us really know how to manage it, or we're trying to figure it out.
I spoke to one of the many trying to figure it out, psychologist Marianne Gary.
I think that the problem is that people are giving away being in the moment.
They're outsourcing it to their devices.
Yeah, and then the device is only going to capture so much, right? And then if you outsource it to the device, and then you don't look at what the device produces, then what have you done? You've just jettisoned it.
Gary is a psychology professor at the Victoria University of Wellington in New Zealand. She's studied the effects of photography on our childhood memories for years. When she sees those parents at the park taking all those photos,
I wish they'd put their camera down and just watch what was happening. It's the idea that they think what they're doing is amplifying their memory. And I worry that what they're doing is just giving their memory away. So if they're paying less attention because what they've got to do is take all the photos, they're splitting their attention between what's going on and the act of taking the picture, then they've got 1,000 photos. And then they just dump the photos somewhere and don't really look at them very much because it's too difficult to tag them and organize them. That seems to me to be a kind of loss.
Is it a loss for the kids?
Oh, well, I think it could be a loss for everybody. If parents are giving away some of their role as the archivist of the child's memory, and then they're giving away some of their role as one of the key people who helps children learn how to talk about their experiences, then, it could be a loss for everybody.
Also, parents, it's usually their job to kind of build memories with kids, right? Which they will do, I guess, when they're reviewing photos is one way of doing it. If we're sort of clicking with abandon and not reviewing, are we depriving our kids of something?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, parents carry around our memories for us when we're too little to carry them around for ourselves. And over the course of our lives, they slowly give them back to us. And if they're actually not paying enough attention because they're consumed with taking all these photographs, because they think they're documenting, then it might be that they're doing the exact opposite, which is they're not even remembering just by virtue of being someplace or watching your soccer game or at the school play. Normally what you see a parent do is sit down with a young child and say, so how was that? And, you know, even for events that just happened or events that happened long ago, you remember when we went to Disneyland and then you had breakfast with Chip and Dale, right? And then what happened, right? And then you remember he stole your waffle, right? So what you see them doing is, again, feeding the child the memory because they don't have the ability to remember it themselves. And they don't have the ability then to learn to even weave things into a storyline, you know, with a beginning, a middle, and an end, like any kind of plot. That's the kind of thing you learn from your parents. And if the parents aren't doing that, then it's going to possibly mean that children have, it takes them longer to develop that skill.
So it's not quite the same as handing a child your phone and saying, here, go ahead, look through the pictures.
Right, because children won't know what to do with that. They need to learn to weave a storyline around their experiences. So, I mean, on the one hand, you could say, well, photos provide the perfect springboard, the perfect opportunity to say, look what happened and look what happened next and look what happened next. But if you've got 1,000 photos of something, then you're not likely to do that. Nor are you likely to wade through to find the perfect 2 or 3 photos to sit down and review them. So it would probably be better if we were a little bit more selective about the photos that we took.
Marianne Gary, she's a psychology professor at Victoria University of Wellington in New Zealand. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Sure, thank you.
Tomorrow, some practical advice on how to make better photos and better memories.